Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God so much for a good, godly wife. Amen. Well, I can hear myself tonight. You might want to turn that down just a little bit. There you go. And I might get convicted if I hear myself. How many of you enjoyed it this week?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. I'm glad all three of you did. Praise God. Hallelujah. Rest of you tolerated me. I appreciate that. We are honored to be here with you again this week and this year for your missions conference, missions revival. And I like it either way. Praise God. As long as it's missions. Amen.
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 Let me ask you something. Let me see. Where are they at? They're not sitting where they are. Brother, how much does it cost to buy those Bibles? Say a couple cases of them or a pallet of them.
$120
a case. Amen. And how many cases did you say you go through in a month?
Every prison.
Amen. So you're talking just about $350, roughly $360 every prison. Amen. And where'd the other one go? There he is. He's hiding over here. And what does it cost to you ain't gonna tell me, are you? He got that look on his face. You're like me. I you ain't gonna tell. Hallelujah. Amen. I agree with you 100%. And what does it cost? Don't listen to him. What does it cost to run that home for a month for these men?
It's
about $22,000. And you think you got bills. Amen?
That's just the home.
That's just the home.
That's not salary.
Right. That's not staff. That's not the ladies' shelter. That's not the pregnancy center. That's just that one home. A month. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We've preached to you this week on starting out our indebtedness to God. And how as a born again, we were indebted to sin, but now as Jesus paid that price in full, we don't owe anything for that, but we are indebted to His grace. Amen.
Amen.
We looked at the sowing of the seed and how it's our responsibility to sow the seed, regardless of the ground. The four types of soil Jesus mentioned, we're supposed to sow on all four types of soil. Amen. Because you'll never get the good ground until you get rid of the weeds. You never get rid of the weeds until you get rid of the stones. And you'll never get rid of the stones until you break up the hard ground. But I want to look at tonight. Friday night we looked at why God wants you to give to missions. Because He wants to bless you. He doesn't need it.
Amen.
My Father don't need your money. Just like He said, I don't need your money. Amen? I still have bills. He still has bills. But I rely on my Father to pay them. Amen? And you can ask this preacher sitting right here the first time that he asked us to present our ministry. What did I tell you? If God don't tell you to support us, I don't want it. Amen? I've told that to every church, every preacher we've ever met. And we're not fully funded. Matter of fact, I didn't go out and try to raise support to decide whether I was going to go or not. God said go, I went. I had $240 a month coming in off of VA pension because I burned both of my hands, third-degree burns, in the Army. God said, go. I went out and bought a motorhome and said, okay, Lord, let's go.
The motor home was more than my VA. I ain't even talking about gas or insurance. Amen. When God tells you to go, you go. Amen.
This morning we preached on the other reason God wants you to give, and that's because there's a place called hell. And if you don't give, there's souls that are going to die and go to hell. Amen. First, giving of yourself. Let's look at this passage right here. This has been on my mind all week. Been on my heart all week. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Who got God's grace? The churches of Macedonia. Amen. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded. Oh, mercy. We're going to have fun here tonight. Unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. This they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Father, we come before you tonight. Again, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this week. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this church here in Ramsor. And I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to put your hand upon its pastor, Lord, anoint him and encourage him and strengthen him, Father. Help him, Lord, as he leads the sheep of your flock. I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, God, that these folks that have gathered here together in this church, and Lord, that you give them power and authority to go out and share the gospel with their friends and loved ones and neighbors. Lord, we focus this week on your greatest burden of your life, and that is missions. Seeking the lost that they might be found. God, help us tonight as we preach, to preach with power. Not for my sake, but for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that souls would be saved, that lives would be changed. And God, again, I beg you tonight, Lord, on behalf of every ear within the sound of my voice, whether it's in the presence of this building or whether it's through the internet that's being broadcast, I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, God, give us a heart to hear. Speak to us tonight, Lord, according to your will and according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul here says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed unto the churches of Macedonia. Wouldn't you like the grace that God bestowed on Macedonia to be bestowed upon Harmony Baptist Church? Amen. You see, you don't understand grace until you go through the trial. You know, there's more than one grace. There's the grace to be saved. There's the grace to live right. There's the grace to act right. There's the grace to witness. Amen? There's a grace for dying. There's a grace. God's grace is so profound. I think it was Brother Cody Zorn was preaching one time. He picked up a box of Kleenex. And he went, and God gave more grace. And before long, man, that Kleenex were all over. He emptied that whole box. And he ran out of grace, but God don't. Aren't you glad? When we look at this tonight, verse 2, he says here, how in a great trial of affliction. What do you think about when you're under affliction? When you're under the yoke, when you're under a burden, when you're under something heavy, burden on your heart, something going on in your family, whether that's a problem in the marriage or whether that's a problem in the home somewhere, or maybe it's a job that you lost your job or whatever it is, when you're under great affliction, how many of us think of it? What do you think of when you're in
times of trouble. If you're like me and if you're like most people, again, I'm not preaching, I'm not above you. If you're like me, when you're under affliction, you're thinking about the problem. Amen? You're thinking about that thing that's trying to tear you apart. It's trying to tear your family apart. It's trying to tear your church apart. You're concentrating on that, trying to figure out in your own mind, what can I do to stop this flow? Amen? How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. I'm glad I can trust God at His Word, because that's a contrary case statement. Amen. How many, when we're going through a trouble and trial, how many of us have joy in our heart? Or do we let the devil get us down? Amen. I learned this in the army. Once you mess up, kick you while you're down. That's what they did to guys that messed up in the military. Would you quit stealing my thunder? You're the second person to sit right there and steal my thunder. Praise God! Hallelujah! For the tribulation of stealing my thunder. Hallelujah. What a difference it would make in the lives of everyone around you if they never saw your tribulation, all they saw was your joy. Do you know why we don't have joy in our tribulation? Because our focus is on our tribulation and not on Christ. Amen? We got our focus on the things of this world instead of on the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much better it would be if when you're going through that trial and that tribulation, that joy. And I've said it not to boast on myself, but I only know my own story. Amen? We was driving down, going someplace with the motor home, and that's our home, parked out back here. That's our home. We don't have a house anywhere else. That's it. Everything we own's in that little 33-foot long hallway. And we was going someplace, and that thing broke down, and I wrote on Facebook, I posted up on Facebook, I said, "Praise God, we're broke down again." And one of my classmates from high school that was on the page wrote back and said, "Only you, Kidman, would thank God for trouble." Why isn't that our natural response? Amen? Why isn't that our natural response? You see, the grace that was bestowed upon the Macedonia churches is because that was their natural response. They didn't see a tribulation as something bad. They saw it as an opportunity to praise God. Amen? Preacher, you don't know what I've been through. Listen, you don't know what I've been through. I've shared some of my testimony here throughout the week. I'm tempted to do it again. But you don't have any clue what I've been through. I can say this, I could very easily sit down with these men right here. Every single one of you. My dad left when I was 8 years old. My mom left when I was 16. And I was a homeless teenager on the streets doing drugs and alcohol. By the time I was 18 years of age, my day consisted of a six-pack of beer for breakfast, a six-pack of beer for lunch, a fifth of bourbon, and a fifth of whiskey for supper. And maybe a slice of bologna if I could afford it. Amazing how I could afford the liquor, but I couldn't afford the food. God delivered me of that. Had some folks praying for me. Praise God. Prayer works, folks. Amen. Amen. Prayer works. And now that one, that thing that was once a stone in my life, as we preached about the four soils, that thing that used to be a stone in my life, keeping me from getting close to the Holy Spirit of God, keeping my roots from going down and reaching to God, is now something I connect with other people on. When we're dealing with soldiers and they've become an alcoholic or they're using drugs, I can understand why they're where they are. And I can minister to them. And I can look them in the eye and say, I've been where you're at. Amen? I've been where you're at. And have compassion on that soul. God has given us this record in Scripture how that in a great trial of fiction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Amen? These were not rich folk. These were folks scraping by from paycheck to paycheck, trying to pay the bills that they had, trying to make a living, trying to get by, trying to keep enough food on the table to keep Mama fed, to keep Junior fed, and to keep Sissy fed. These were folks that were scraping by. Yet because of the grace that they understood that God gives to all man, it says that they're and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm a conservative. Amen. Politically, I'm a conservative. But there is one spot where I like being a liberal. Amen. And that's when it comes to supporting the work of God. Amen. We tithe to our home church. We give an offering to our home church. And we give faith promise missions to our home church. On top of that, we support three missionaries ourselves. And I have found in this ministry that if we're struggling a little bit financially, I don't tell the preacher about it. I take on another missionary.
Amen.
Amen. Why do you do that? Because I want that grace that the churches of Macedonia had. Amen. He says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. First to their power. He says, they didn't have a whole lot, but what they had, they gave. Amen? But what blew his mind was they gave way beyond what they had. As some have done this week. Every night, preacher's taking up an offering for the group that has been here. And you've reached into your wallet, you've reached in your purse, and you've given, and a lot have given sacrificially. But there's some that haven't. And you'll never understand the grace that they had here in Macedonia. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering unto the saints. Here's why I ask these other ministries what it costs. If you ever want to get to the point of receiving the grace that the churches in Macedonia received, you're going to have to understand this. They didn't wait until you got here to take up a love offering for you. They took up a love offering all the time. And they had it in the storehouse. So when you walked in the door, they didn't have to ask how much it costs for a month. They said, here, let me write you a check for $22,000. Let me write you a check. I'm not going to just pay 1 month. How about a whole year of buying Bibles? Do you understand that's what it's talking about? They gave in such abundance. They shouldn't have been able to do anything compared to what they were doing. But because they planned ahead, because they gave all year long to missions, they were willing to give above and beyond. Glory to God. Paul said, they begged us, they entreated us. The offering was so large that he said, they begged us and entreated us to accept it. I've only had, in the ministry that we've been in with the military all these years now, I think it's, we're in our 13th year. Yeah, 13th year. And we've been in the ministry as long as you've been married. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've only had one offering that they begged me to take it. I didn't feel comfortable taking it. And it wasn't a $100 bill. It wasn't even a $1,000 bill. But I ain't going to tell you how many more bills was in it. There was just a whole lot of bills, amen. But here's the kicker. It didn't come from a church. It didn't come from a preacher. It came from an 18-year-old teenager. And he handed me an envelope about that thick. I said, "What's that for?" He said, "For your ministry. God told me to give it to you." I went and talked to his daddy. His daddy was the pastor of the church we were at. I said, "Your son just handed me this." I said, "I can't take this from him. 18-year-old kid." I said, "I can't take this." He says, "You better." He says, "You better." You know what that kid understood? He understood the grace that churches in Macedonia received. Amen. He says, "Listen," he says, "I want to tell you something. My son won't tell you this." He said, "But I want to tell you something." He says, "That boy lives at home. He's a manager at Ashley Furniture. And the reason he goes to work every day is to give to missions. He tithes, he gives an offering." He says that he gives the rest of his income to missions. "And if he gave it to you, do not rob him of a blessing." Amen. What if we got to the point where because we took up so much regularly, not just when the missionary was here, but when we took up so much throughout the year regularly, we just got in the habit of praising God through missions. Amen. And I would join Paul in saying this: I'm not preaching this because I seek a reward. I'm not preaching this because I seek financial help. I'm preaching this to your benefit. As I said Friday night, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless this church with the grace that Macedonia experienced. Here's people living in a hard time in their life. They're living in a tumultuous time in their life. They're living in deep poverty. And yet they're one of the happiest people in Macedonia. They're happier than the rich people living in the palaces. They're happier than the king. They're happier than everybody around them. Why? Because they understood the grace of giving. Can you imagine going into the church at Macedonia and they say, "Preacher, I don't know what your need is, but God just laid on us to give you $10,000. That'd blow me away. Amen. I'd have a hard time accepting that. They would have to beg me for a little while. You think all us missionaries, all we do is when the check's written, we just go. There's a whole other grace in being a missionary and learning how to receive. I like giving a whole lot better than receiving. Amen. I enjoy giving. It's one of the reasons I haven't mentioned much about this table, because I just soon give it all away rather than sell anything. And if I did that with those Bibles, Dennis would have my hide. I've recorded 4 CDs. We don't have any right now. It's a long story, but our display case fell out of our motorhome because the door gave way. And we lost them all. I don't have any right now. I'm trying to get some more duplicated. But I've never made a dime on them, brother. Because I give away more than... Amen. I just love giving. But if we're ever going to have the grace that they had in Macedonia, the Bible says here that they had a grace. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. They had a grace of giving. They had a grace of giving so much that they enjoyed giving to their poverty. They enjoyed giving in their poverty. I know a preacher out in Texas. He's taught his people to give. One of the things, he doesn't just tell them they need to give, he shows them. He pastors a fairly large church, but he also runs a business on the side so he can give more to missions. He also runs an Amazon whatever thing on the internet. He goes out picking trash cans on Thursday night and finds stuff that he thinks he can resell and puts it up on Amazon to support missions. We sit here and we look at it, I can't afford to give any more. You haven't found the grace of giving. Amen. We have this mental block that I can only afford to give what I see that I have. I can't sit here and, Lord, you put on my heart that I need to give this large amount of money. And, Lord, I don't see it. It's not in my budget. I don't understand where it's going to come from. God, I can't afford to do that. God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. Amen? But it's also another thing. He'll withhold the devourer. Amen? I need to give some more. So he would hold the devourer on that motorhome up there. God wants you to give so that he can give you the grace of giving. Amen? So when the missionary comes walking in the door, you can say, praise God, let's meet that need they have in their life. Let's meet that need they have in their ministry. Let's have a part in that. Amen? I received a phone call back in October. There's a church that supports us out in Arkansas, and they call me once a quarter and ask how the ministry's going. Now, mind you, we send out a prayer letter every 2 months. But every quarter they call me. Somebody from the church calls me and talks to me personally how things are going. I kind of like that. You know why I like it, brother? Because as a missionary, I'm supposed to report to the churches, but how often have the churches ever reported to the missionary? When was the last time you got one of your missionaries' letters and you wrote them back? Boy, it got quiet. Even the baby quit crying. As a youth pastor, I'll get back to that church in a minute. As a youth pastor, I came up with one Wednesday night a month, we had man night. Missionary Awareness Night. And I would take letters and copy them off of our mission board. And I picked out the ones that had family, that had children. And I'd print off a copy of that letter with different one each month. We'd go through a different one each month. And I'd print off a copy of that letter, and when we got up to class that Wednesday night, I would sit there and I'd read that letter to them, and then I'd say, here's what we're going to do tonight. You're going to write the kids of the missionary. And my wife and I would write the adults, the parents. I don't know about you, But when I was over in Desert Storm, I liked getting care packages. I liked knowing somebody was caring about me. Amen. There's one missionary that we wrote. He was coming back to the States on furlough. When he got to our church, and we had a door greeter that always stood at the back door and the front door and greeted folks as they come in. He was a World War II veteran. And he just loved to greet people. Amen. He's standing at the back door, and most people when they come, most missionaries when they walk into church, they want to know where the pastor's at. They want to talk to the pastor. He come walking in that church, and he says, "Where's Brother Kidman?" He said, "He's up there in the lobby or in the auditorium, one or the other." "Why?" He said, "I want to meet him." "Okay." He come find me, brother. And he told me this. He says, "I've been in Africa for 25 years. And you're the first person that ever wrote me, let alone my kids. You're the first church that's ever written us and asked what our need was." See, I corrected that. "You're the first church that ever said anything about trying to help our kids and ministering to our kids in a foreign country. 25 years on the mission field, and we're the first ones to reach out to them." See, as a missionary, we're not as interested in the money that you give us or support us once a month as we are as knowing that you really care about us. That you're really praying for us. That you're really interested in what's going on in the ministry God's put us in. Get back to that church in Arkansas. Back in October, I got a phone call. He asked me how things were going, and I told him. I told him we're trying to get into a diesel pusher, get rid of this old gas rig, get into a diesel pusher. I told him about some of the soldiers we'd been witnessing to and ministering to, and how God was working in that, and we appreciated their prayers and their support. And he told me this. He said, "We just had our missions conference, and he said one of the preachers that preached a message, and we realized we were doing missions wrong. This is a well-established church." He said, "We had several $100,000 sitting in our bank account. And missionaries that we support would send us a letter saying, we need some help with this project, or we need some help with this." And he said, "We'd send them a little bit, but we wouldn't send them much." He says, "God's put on our heart to start helping these missionaries every way we can." I sat in a church for 5 years under a pastor I dearly love. And we had over $400,000 in our missions account. Missionaries come through, we'd give them $100. "Thank you for coming. Appreciate it." That church never got a hold of the grace that Macedonia had. Amen. I think that church in Arkansas is getting it. And that's what God wants for Harmony Baptist Church. Each one wants to understand there's a grace in giving. There's a grace that He wants to bestow on you to give beyond what you think you can do. Stop looking at your budget. Stop looking at your income. And just say, "God, what is it you want me to do for missions?" Stop worrying about the bills. And trust God. Why is it we can trust Him for our salvation, but we can't trust Him with our finances? Why is it we can trust Him with our eternity, but we can't trust Him with supporting missions? God wants you to understand that there is a grace given. Macedonia, the churches of Macedonia understood it, and they got it. And He wants to give that to you. He wants to give it to you. But in God's economy, you got to give to give. God's not going to give it to you until you start giving. Well, we're a giving church. I understand that. But are you giving out of your budget? Or are you giving beyond your means? You get involved in grace giving, and son, it'll blow the walls out of your little bitty old mind. Amen? I've seen some things. I still don't understand this, brother. I was sitting in my truck at work, and I said, Lord, do you want me in this job, driving this truck, or do you want me in this ministry? God had burdened my heart with this ministry that we're in. We already started sending care packages overseas. I said, God, do you want me in this truck, or do you want me in this ministry? The very next day, I got laid off. Yes, I did. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what I did about 3 months after that? Still laid off. I went out and bought a motorhome. With no earthly income. You figure that one out. I walked into the credit union. And I said, Paul, I need a loan. He said, how much? And I told him. He said, what's it for? I said, a motorhome. He said, I need some specs on it. Had them all printed out. He said, looks good enough. He said this to me. He says, how much money are you making right now? I said, Paul, how much debt did I pay off last year? And he told me. No earthly income. Just love offerings from God's people. Really didn't have support back then. Just love offerings. I said, how much? And it was over $10,000. I said, how much do I have in the bank right now? And he told me. I said, that's how much I made this last year. He said, good enough. He gave me the loan. The total between the two was less than $16,000. Income for the whole year. And he gave me a loan on a motorhome. Why don't you go back to that credit union and get your diesel pusher? Because they closed. Besides that, I want God to do it, not me. God did that. Amen? God did that. What am I saying to you? If you'll get a hold of this thing of grace giving, you'll be shocked at what happens to you. You'll be shocked at how well God takes care of you and your family. You'll be shocked at how well God takes care of your finances. Amen, if you'll turn them over to Him. Verse 7, and I close. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Folks, as we close tonight, that's my prayer for you. You preach the Word of God, the King James Bible. You witness to the people in the community around you. You're doing everything right. But I pray that you'll get in on this grace. I pray that you'll get in on this grace. As we all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. God's dealing on your heart tonight. You come to the throne and obey God.